19th Mishnah. Okay. Kol mi sheyesh bo shlosha dvarim halalu mitalmidov shel Avraham Avinu. Anyone that has the following three attributes is considered to be of the students of Avraham Avinu. Alright. Ushlosha dvarim acherim. If a person has three other types of attributes, he's considered to be a Talmud, a follower, a student of Bilam HaRasha, Bilam the Evil. Now, what are the three? Ayin Tova, a good eye, Veruach Nemucha, and a low spirit. We have to understand exactly what that means. The Nefesh Yefola. Nefesh Yefola means a soul that is lowly soul. Sounds like a repetition of Ruach Nemucha. Yeah, but we'll soon see the Rambam explains the difference. Okay, so these three qualities, these three attributes, make a person a student or a follower of Avraham Avinu. And on the other hand, Ayin Ra, an evil eye. Ruach Gevoa, a lofty, high spirit, the Nefesh Rechava, and a broad soul, is considered Mitalmid of Shel Bilam HaRasha, is considered one of the students of Bilam HaRasha. Okay. Ma Bein Talmid of Shel Avraham Avinu. Okay, then the Mishnah goes through what the difference is in terms of effect, what the difference is between being a student of Avraham Avinu or being a student of a follower of Bilam HaRasha. Alright. The first question is, I mean, that comes to a person's mind, yes? First question is, what is the... Well, okay, Talmid of Shel Avraham Avinu is... alright, I mean, Avraham Avinu had Talmidim. Talmid of Shel Bilam HaRasha. I haven't really heard too much about Talmidim of Bilam HaRasha. So what is the idea of the Talmidim of Bilam HaRasha? That Bilam HaRasha had students, followers. I mean, why does the Mishnah have to frame it that way? That a Talmid of Shel Bilam HaRasha. Yeah. Okay, let's take a look at the what the Rambam says. Rambam says, Ayin Tova, Fabiano Pamam Rabos, Sheinyan Ayin Tova, he has status. What does it mean, a good eye? A good eye means that the person is nestapik, means he's satisfied. Midas has status. Okay. Nefesh Yefola, a low soul, that's the Nefesh Yefola. Yeah, a low soul. He says he has Zahiros. Zahiros means a person's awareness. Zahiros means a person's caution. His caution in avoiding involvement in the appetitive, in typhus. Okay, in typhus. Ruach Nemucha, Hiha Novi Yisera. Ruach Nemucha means that this means the person's humility, his humility. Okay. He says, Kemoshim is by the paragraph Nezer. Vashol Shekinegdon, Huach Aritzis, Liknas HaMamon. There's the three opposites of these characteristics. Is one is a person's energetic pursuit of money. That's the opposite of his stopkus, of Ayin Tova. That's Ayin Ra. That's an evil eye. And Vu Ayin Ra, he says it. Verov HaTaivo, Vehi Nefesh Rechava. He says, and the desire, the lustfulness, is considered the Nefesh Nefesh Rechava. One is pursuit of money. It's two separate things. One is estatkus, means a person is satiated, he's satisfied, and he has enough. And the other one is the involvement in typhus, in physical typhus. Okay? The involvement in physical pleasures. Okay? That's one. It's a real Vashalosh Agaiva the Ruch Devoa. Ruch Devoa is the haughtiness. Haughtiness. Okay. He says, Vashalosh Mailas Rain, he says the reason why he's called the students of Avraham Avinu is because the person followed his attributes. Okay, he says, "V'chomi sheyimtzu bo elu ashlosha pchisios, humi talmid asher bo marasha." Acha sheesnag v'midasa. Since he followed his ways of living, his ethical system, so he's considered talmid of bo marasha. Vaniyatski amakomos nezlegis. Vaniyatski amakomos shezbaru bohen elu amaylas lavram. V'pchisios ayin kum levelam. He says, "I'm going to show you all the places where these attributes were described." Of Avraham Avinu and of Bilam. He says as follows. Vehinan nimtzos kulam b'tar. And these are all found in the Torah. Amnon, he says. Astapkus v'Avram. What do you say Avram Amida says Astapkus? That means he was totally satisfied. He had enough. You find it in the following case. He says, Hu amro l'melech zdom. When he told the king of Sodom, "In michut v'atzroch now v'nekach mikol ha'shalach," so the king of Sodom wanted to reward him because he helped him in the battle. But on the contrary, he said, "I wouldn't take anything from you, not even a shoestring." V'zeh tachlis ha'estapkus, v'hu she'yaniach adam mamon gadol v'lo yehena mimenu afilu b'davar mu'ot. He says, and that is considered. He says that's the height of estapkus. What does it mean, the height of estapkus? It means that a person couldn't do, when you read the pasuk says that Avraham Avinu didn't want to take anything from Melech Sodom. Didn't want to take anything from Melech Sodom. Okay, he had a reason. He said, "Lo soma ani ashrat es Avram." He said, "The Melech Sodom shouldn't go around saying that I was the one that made Avram wealthy. And it would take away from the Kiddush Hashem of Avraham Avinu, the bracha to Avram, where Kodesh bracha to Avram, that so if someone would be able to attribute it to Melech Sodom, it would reduce the whole Kiddush Shemo HaGadol that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created through Avraham Avinu. So Avraham Avinu didn't want to take anything from Melech Sodom. So he said, "I won't take anything." Yeah, so it was a political reason why he didn't want to take anything. But what the Rambam says is that in order for a person to do that, he has to have midas ha'estapkus. He used to say, a normal person can do that. A normal person can read about it. A normal person can think he would do it. But he wouldn't be able to do it. Because a person by nature, has an endless desire for, insatiable desire for money. Insatiable desire for money. It's only when, as I say many times, it's only when it's not his money, then the desire is not insatiable. Read about Avraham, isn't it? But the Rambam says that in truth, for a person to leave tremendous amounts of money, fortune of money, and just walk away and not take a penny, it's impossible for a person to do that. Even though he has political motivation, even though he has a political reason, it's impossible for a person to do that unless he has a certain quality, a certain need. Midas Astapkus. Midas Astapkus means that he's not a nivhalachamama. His energy is not running after money. That means he feels he reaches a certain point where he's satisfied financially, and that's it. And the rest has no meaning. But most people feel they would be satisfied, but then it's always a matter of the next rung. I mean, you know. They'd be satisfied if they have this much. And when they get to the next one, they keep on going. They don't realize that the problem is a certain disposition of the soul. It's not a specific fixed amount that they're looking for. It's only at each point they feel that the next point they'd be satisfied if they had this much. But in truth, what the person's desire for money is simply is simply energy of the psyche that's being directed towards a certain type of ultimate fantasy the person's looking for, looking to attain for money. And a person who is under the sway of that fantasy cannot say, in this book, let's help now. Can't do it. Which means to say, a person's midos of perfection, either their midos, insofar as they're not perfected, limit their performance, even though there are other reasons for the performance. A small person can never do a great deed. It's impossible. Can never do a great deed, even though he's at the place where he sees that this is the right thing to do, but since the person is not perfected, he could never really perform a great action. In order to perform a great action, that person must be internally perfected, must be in a certain state of internal perfection. And the state of internal perfection of Ramavinu was midas hastachus. That means that he could look at money, simply turn away, and it had no value. Meaningless. Didn't bother. That's midas hastachus. Okay? Yes. He wouldn't, if there were, in other words, yes, certainly if there was no reason to turn the money down, he would have kept the money, but the money would have been used. In other words, the money had a functional use only. Functional use. Functional use is to use the person's personal needs insofar as they, insofar as that's necessary. And after that, for the purpose of Kiddush Hashem. But over here, the use of the money, he made use of the money and not taking it. Not taking it was the money's greatest use. That was the greatest use. Plato's observation was that covet is much more enjoyable than money. And you'll see people that have a choice between the two will take covet over money. Okay. Now he goes on to the next. Avol Zeraso is Zeras. Zeras meaning the Avram Avinu's caution. Insofar as tithe is concerned, he says, Avol Zeraso, his removal from tithe. His removal from tithe is Omro Lesara beyond Baal Mitzrayim. When he said to Sarah on the day that he came to Egypt, He says, behold, I know that you are a beautiful woman. So Chazal say that he never looked at her in a way of a total evaluation to see if she's beautiful or not until that day. Because he was concerned about her because she was in danger. And that was the only time he really looked at her to see if she's beautiful. Vizeu Tachlus Aziras says, and this is the height of a person's removal from the physical instincts, from the instinctual. Okay. I mean, you see from Chazal that the relationships between the Avos and the Imos was qualitatively differentiated. It's a different kind of relationship. Okay. Yeah. But it means that Avram and Sarah, their relationship was on a different basis, and they were totally removed from the physical and the instinctual aspects of love, as we understand them. It was a totally different kind of a relationship. Now the Gemara says, "Vod Amru." By the way, it's a Chazal also. When Avram Avinu took Hagar, so the pasuk says that Vatikach, pasuk in Perek Tezayin, Vatikach Sarai Eishes Avram, and Sarai the wife of Avram took Hagar a mitzvah. After 10 years that they were in Eretz Yisrael, so Rashi says, Rashi quotes Chazal, "Lakhosa b'dvarim." She took her with words. Ashrecha shezochis lidabek b'guf kadosh kazeh. It means that the relationship with Avram is a different one than with any other human being. Different kind of a conjugal relationship. Okay. So the Ram goes on, Va'odomro al hogar, acha shalokha, hineshif chosech biyode, chasilu atol, katol deinayach, more shalo hayolo rotzon l'sanegimo, that he had no desire to enjoy hogar physically. V'chein kishe bikshon imen asor l'garsho, Yishmael, and also when Sarah demanded that Avram Avinu chase out Hagar and Yishmael, Ad shetin ehu mentos achareho. It means that he wouldn't be able to have her anymore, he wouldn't be able to live with her anymore. But the pasuk says, Sheheira be'inav al Yishmael levad, that he was only upset about Yishmael. It was only about Yishmael was concerned, but it didn't disturb him the fact that he lost Hagar as a mate physically. That didn't disturb him. Okay, so he was completely removed from the area of physical desire. Yeah, he says, "Elu kulam mosei azirus." These are demonstrations of a person who is a zohir, means removed from the physical, instinctual. The Omnom on the Sanuso is humility who Amravonochi of a wafer. Okay, where he says that I am just dust. Rabbeinu Yonah says, yeah, Rabbeinu Yonah says like this. He says, really, I actually kind of like Katsav Shlolahach Kolpra. Why does the Tanakh have to be Marach here in this whole thing? Call me Sheshbo Shlosh and Dwarma Long Tanj Avram Vinu, Shlosh Ramacherim, Tanjabi, Jabilam, and it goes up and back. He says, why? He says, Elabalam Dinu, Shabigimu Varma Ela, Shazocha Rishona, Shazocha Rishona, Kolin Kola Shlemos, the Imrabu Chalaka, the Chena Shlosha Dvarma Ofkin Lam Kolin Kola Prisius. He says, because the Tana wants to show you that this is really what perfection consists of. These three things. Alright? So what are the three? What are the three? Midas Estatus, and Midas Zerus, and Midas Anova. Anova Yisrael. Those are the three. This passing with Bilam Arusha. Hacharitzis ala Mamon, he says Bilam Arusha on the contrary. You see that he had a desire to run after money. Bilam had a fantastic desire for money because he ran from Aram Naharayim in order to curse a nation. I mean, why should he put himself in such a situation to curse a people and go through the trouble of traveling the distance in spite of the difficulties? So it was purely because of the money. What? Vam lam rov tavoso binyan amishgal hi sibas atzoso leboa kshayafkir anoshin luznus in Yisrael v'yosin zonos mefursamos. Alright, here around something a little bit understand. He says that the how do you know that he was lustful? Mm-hmm. How do you know he's a lustful person? So he says because he gave an eitzah. After Bilam wasn't successful in cursing Klal Yisrael, so he gave an eitzah. What was his eitzah? It was a very brilliant eitzah. His eitzah was, he said, the problem. He says this nation, the Jewish nation, has one quality that always makes them succeed. So that quality is that they sublimate their energies. And they use their energy to sublimate it into the area of Chochmah, to the mind. And that's why they're successful over other nations. So other nations remain in the world of Tiber. He says, so we get very good answers. If you want to destroy Klal Yisrael, he says, all you have to do is involve them in the instinctual. And once they're involved in the instinctual, that's the end of it. Which is correct. Yeah. Okay. So he was a brilliant person. And he knew psychological warfare, okay? It's a very advanced kind of warfare. I mean, even more advanced than biological warfare. Okay. So the Rambam says that you see he was a big baltaiva. How do you see he was a big baltaiva? Because he says, Kilule rova taiva shahoisolo, the yos haznus tov beinav. Because if it wasn't for the fact that he really valued promiscuity, he really valued promiscuity. Lo hoya mitzave bo. He never would have given that idea. Why? Shemitzvas b'nei odom einom rak lefi daikam. He says the people's ideas are only according, the advice they give are only according to their own ideas, their own internal ideas. He says ki atovim lo yitzavu bara, because good people will never advise about something evil. Avol yaziru mimenu, contrary, will avoid it. Voloshna kasev hini oil of neyesol betvar dolam, and so ma'ba hashem vapor. Yeah, so yeah, so therefore, so therefore, he says that what that was his idea. That was his idea. He wanted to destroy Klal Yisrael for that idea. So why did he use that idea? He used that idea because he himself was a Baal Taiva. What's hard to understand is you said, how do you know that? Maybe really he's not a Baal Taiva, but he knows how to destroy Klal Yisrael, and he wanted to do it because of the money. He wanted it because of the money. Okay. It's a difficult question. And he says, he continues, he says, Lechachomam Bilam Boel Asonahaya, that he cohabitated with his donkey. Vein Tzofik Bo, Shemish Zedaito Bezerti Apulasan. Okay, so it means to say that he was engaged in all kinds of sexual activity. That was his way of life. Yeah. So, that's, yeah, but that's not what he brings the Raya from. The Raya gives him the advice. In fact, he gives advice. So what's the right from the advice? I think what it means is like this. See, when we say Talmid of Shel Bilam, it means to say, you have to understand what kind of a person Bilam was. Bilam was a very highly organized individual. He wasn't a person that was just gave way to his emotions, like an average person. An average person just gives way to each emotion. So basically, he gets nowhere. But the Bilam of Russia was a very sophisticated individual, very highly organized person. And he had a philosophy and he had a shita. It wasn't just a Russian, it's not a person that's disorganized. A disorganized person can't be much of a Russian, not a very good Russian. Good Russia has to be organized. And he had a shita, he had a philosophy that he adhered to. What was his philosophy? His philosophy was that the good in life is mammon, is kavod, honor, it's the physical enjoyment, sexual pleasure. This is the good in life. And a person must use his mind to attain these goods. that was his derech hachayim, that was his philosophy. He was proud of himself, proud of his philosophy, and that was his shita, and he was a very successful individual. Okay? Yeah. It's interesting when you think about the things that the objects of his success. I mean, sounds pretty familiar in American society, yeah? Basically, that was a shita. What? Basically, he was no different than a lot of modern people in today's society, American society, but that's their philosophy. Philosophy is to be successful, money-wise, in terms of honor, and be a person that has available to him all kinds of sexual enjoyments, and indulges in all kinds of comforts and luxuries. I mean, that's the luxurious life. That's basically the philosophy of modern America. Today's philosophy, and to use wisdom and chokhmah in achieving it and attaining it. That was his shita. That was Bilam Rasha's shita. That was his shita. But this shita that he had, that's why it says mitamidav shel Bilam Rasha, because it means that Bilam Rasha represents a derech hachayim. It's a philosophy, a way of life. And people who live that way are following that shita, following that derech hachayim. Now, but when you break it down to components, you see, it has to, in other words, the components don't equal the whole. That's what I'm trying to say. The components don't equal the whole. What I mean to say is like this. You can have a person, for instance, that has charitzus for money. He runs after money. Doesn't necessarily mean that that's a sheet of his derech hachayim. You could say, I mean, he's insecure, he has problems, emotional problems, that cause it. Doesn't necessarily mean that he's a philosopher, That's not a philosophy. It's not a derech hachaim. It's not a shita. In one sense, he's much better than the other person, than the Bilma Rasha, because he doesn't espouse a philosophy of taiva. But in another sense, he's worse, because it's a weakness. It's a weakness in the person's soul. It's a shvachkeit. It means to say he has no control over his emotions. And he has emotional weakness in this area. Some people are insecure. You always find the proverbial stories of people who die in the leave a fortune in a mattress and live like paupers. So what does that mean? Saritas for mama. Yeah, but it's not Bilma Rasha. It's an illness. They don't have any control of the emotional neuroses. Okay? So that doesn't reflect a philosophy or a way of life. And the same thing can be true for taiva. Same thing can be true for taiva. A person can be shatter, can be involved in physical taiva, and that's it. He's not involved in that. That's his life. Okay. So that's a person, that type of a situation reflects only an emotional weakness. But when a person spans the whole area of taiva, when it comes to money, when it comes to kavod, when it comes to taiva, he spans the entire gamut, that's already not just a matter of weak emotions. Weak emotions don't set themselves up in all places. That means it's a shita. This man doesn't have weak emotions. He has good emotions that he controls very well, and he directs them specifically to every area. That's a philosophy. That's a philosophy already. That was Bilam HaRosh. See? That was Bilam HaRosh. That's why he says like this to Alan. He says, if Bilam HaRosh only had a weakness for money, he went for money, so you could say. So, I mean, he wasn't necessarily, that was a shita. He had a weakness for money. He had to have money. Money, it disturbed him, he didn't have money. He had a need for money, psychological need. Okay? But if that was the case, that would mean that, and then we'd have to assume that really he was a good person. Which means he wasn't a shita, that the physical, instinctual is the ultimate good. That wasn't his shita. On the contrary, he believed that the good is something much higher. Not the physical, not the instinctual. That's what he believed. If that was the case, the Rambam says, he would never be able to advise others to advise another nation to cause other people to be involved in promiscuity. Okay, in sexual promiscuity. Why? Because since he maintains that the good is really a higher thing, it's something higher, something other than the instinctual, so he couldn't destroy others in that manner. A person that believes that something is the good cannot destroy another human being in that way. That's a psychological impossibility. You understand what I'm saying? Let's say, for instance, what the Rambam is saying is a person never destroys another individual on the level of ruchnius. It's something that a person just doesn't do. Okay? A person will not say that I'm going to destroy this other individual by not letting him be misfollowed. So therefore I'll destroy his soul. A person won't do that. You're saying, why shouldn't he do that? That should be the most rational thing to do, right? Yeah. But by nature, a person can't do such a thing. Because once a person's in the area of the good, he can't do that. You understand what I'm saying? He can only do it with a good that appears to be good, but not with a real good. Unless it's for some material benefit, worldly benefit. In an otherworldly benefit, a person can't function that way. You understand what I'm saying? A person will say, look, I will destroy my enemy by not allowing him to do chesed. Uncle Chesed, you're on a low level. So therefore he'll become an Ovavera, and therefore he'll be Yerush Ganim. A person can't do that. A person can't do such a thing. A person can only try to destroy another person in an area that has to do with this earthly existence. He'll take away his money from him, he could try to hurt him physically, he could try to do anything within the sphere of this world. But a person cannot try to destroy another individual with ruchnius. It's an interesting, by removing a spiritual good from the other person. That is not, it's humanly impossible, psychologically, for a person to do such a thing. Nobody would want to do such a thing. There's no satisfaction in such a thing. And if a person thinks that promiscuity is really really evil, and there's a higher benefit, he will not destroy the person. You understand? He couldn't destroy the person by giving advice that would result in them being involved in them being involved in the instinctual. On the contrary, it would bother him.
Right.
Yeah, the reason why the goyim try to stop us from Torah is not because they recognize what Torah is. It's because of some kind of an envy that they thought that we have a superiority here. They're trying to take away our... Not because of the... person... What he's saying is that if Bilam HaRasha really was just... He happened to be captivated by the emotion from him. He couldn't control himself. He was caught by that emotion. But basically, he really held the good as something else. Something other. So he really thought that promiscuity is a bad thing. So if that's the case, then he couldn't destroy another people by causing them to indulge in promiscuity. He wouldn't be able to do such a thing. A person by nature can't try to destroy somebody else in a spiritual sense. In a spiritual sense. Because he would have an identification with other people. A person has a normal identification with other people. And he can't destroy the person in a spiritual sense. In a spiritual sense. The fact that he gave that advice demonstrates that he really believes that it is a good. If he believes it's a good, then he will be harmed. Why? Because he believes that promiscuity is a good, but he holds that it's only when it's under control. And now he's destroying them because he says that they're going to lose control. That's basically what the purpose is. But if he thought it was really an evil and there's a higher good, then he could not cause other people to indulge in such a thing. Couldn't cause them. It would disturb him. It would bother him to do that. The reason for the sin of Bilam, the reason for the sin of the whole world for Klal Yisrael, is because Klal Yisrael represents the true ideas, which they simply don't want to wish to accept. So their very existence is a pich on their whole way of life. And that's been always the problem. That's Sinai, Shia the sin of the soul. Okay? I mean, there's no doubt that Bilam partook of that same type of sin. In a material good, a person can desire to destroy another person by taking away a material good. There's no question about that. Because in a material good, there's a conflict. There's an intrinsic conflict. So therefore, right. So therefore, by removing another person's life, I make the material world more available to me. I mean, basically, that's why you remove another person. You remove another person's life. Isn't that correct? Okay. But in the world of a non-material good, in the world of a non-material good, it doesn't work. It's not true. A person will never try to take away from another individual a non-material good. They simply won't do it. It's just like a person can't do such a thing. A person will never try to make a person, I'll tell you what, I'll make a person a Russia, and we'll give him money, and we'll give him all the tithes, just to destroy him. It's just impossible. If the person does that, by definition, you can't believe that is the good. Not matter the judge, you believe that, you know that it's true, you know that every Avera person does, every person believes that every Avera person does, so he's going to be suffering for it, right? The person believes that. So if a person doesn't have air against you, so you should be very happy. You got him right back right there. That's it. The fact that he did. Okay. I know you shouldn't, but I'm just saying, but usually they're upset. They shouldn't be upset. They certainly shouldn't be upset. Shouldn't be upset. Why? I mean, that's why they want to correct them. They're so upset. That means that if Bilam really held that it was an evil, so he couldn't possibly advise people to be destroyed in that manner. Okay. Why Bilam received Nevuah? Bilam received Nevuah because of the fact that, because of Klal Yisrael. He didn't receive Nevuah intrinsically. He never received Nevuah because he intrinsically deserved Nevuah. Bilam was a Russian. What? He didn't have the qualifications. He didn't have the midos for Nevuah. But the only thing he did have was he did have the intellect for Nevuah. He had the mind. Yeah, it is the only case of a Navi where he had the intellect without the perfection of the midos. So that's why he received Nevuah, because of a certain situation that befell Klal Yisrael. And he was not the that's why it always says Vayikar Elokim Elduvon. Reiko means happen. Happen means it wasn't, he didn't deserve it. It was just because of an event, situation. Because of this situation, he happened to have Nevuah. But his mind was, he had a brilliant mind, and when he was under the influence of Nevuah, he had the true ideas. But the moment the influence of Nevuah left him, that was it. He reverted back to his original state. Because a person can't be perfected by anything other than himself. And even if God should give him Nevuah, and he should have momentary perfection because he's under the power of the Nevuah, but the moment the Nevuah leaves him, he reverts right back. That was the case of Noah. It says a kosen. It means that he diviner. A diviner. Because what he did was, apparently he knew how to, it says Bilam HaKosen, Tanakh, Divrei Yom, I think it was Kosen. Why? It means to say that he was very intelligent and knew how to use his powers to cause people to believe, to cause people to believe that they're cursed, then it affects them psychologically. And he knew how to do it. So he knew how to do it in a way that they were destroyed. He destroyed them. So it was a different kind of a, he was very intelligent, very crafty, and he knew how to do that. He was able to do that. That was the idea of the Klala. That's right, that was the idea. Now, that's why God didn't allow the Klala, because at that time, if Klal Yisrael, if the Klala, if he would have been the Kaol, so he could have destroyed it. He could have destroyed it, psychologically. The Ibn Ezra mentions this. That's basically why it says, it's Talmidov Shel Bilam, as opposed to Talmidov Shel Avraham Avinu. Because it means that in both cases you have Chacham. In both cases you have Chacham. The person doesn't have any Chacham against the witness. In both cases you have Chacham. But in the case of Bilam, the Chacham is directed towards evil. And in the case of Avram, it's directed towards the good. But they're both powerful individuals. They're both powerful philosophers. And you're not talking about people that are just stamina or weak people. You're talking about people that have intellects, powerful minds, and arguments, and they could sway, and they can influential people, very influential people, both very influential, very influential. He was only by Malachim, a very influential individual. But what the Mishnah is telling you is that with Chachma alone, just a person being a great Chacham, he could still be Kirchov Mizrach Mimara if there's no perfection. There's no perfection. Chachma alone does not make him superior to other people. In a certain sense. But in terms of perfection, it's Kirchad Mizrach Mimara. That's what it means. Bilam was a great Chacham. Yeah. Great capacity. It means he had total control over his emotions, and he was able to direct his emotions at his will into the taivas that he desired. Mammon, kavod, and the sexual, every, any, the instinctual, that was his life.
They didn't have Chacham.
Yeah.